Fab Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Good to be back in the saddle doing our thing. Sports360AZ.com. Herb Sendek has been fired. Gone. Herb Sendek at Arizona State. This does not come as a surprise. We will talk about that in great detail as the show progresses today. Also on the show, we will have Kevin Harlan with us. Kevin Harlan with TNT, CBS, and other outlets as well. He did the play-by-play for the University of Arizona Wildcat games up in March Madness in Portland. I had a great seat up there, and it was a good weekend of content, good weekend of fun. Eric is now going to take the torch and go on to Los Angeles. We're going to do our thing. I'm just putting out here about some things on the show today, and that's what we do. And there. Now I feel good. All right. So Herb Sendek's been fired. Kevin Harlan will be with us. The NFL owners' meetings are going on here in town, and Adrian Peterson's agent has fired off a few more things. We're going to talk about that as the show moves on today. Jordan Hamm is in the space of Eric. We have Jordan's camera, right? Do we have it? We'll get his camera fired up here. So we'll get him on and talk about that with Jordy on the Herb Sendek thing and some other deals. So 20-minute meeting, according to Chris Cartman and ASU senior staff, where he was relieved of his duties. So let's start with that, and here's what is on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top. In the beautiful White Mountains, the Honda Resort and Casino, where you can pull down on those slots, eat some great food, have some fun, do things the way that they should in the White Mountains, which means you relax. You're in the beautiful White Mountains, for crying out loud. Who wouldn't want to go snowboarding or skiing or having some fun right down the hill at the Sunrise Ski Resort? Who wouldn't want to do that? And then eat some great food and have some fun and do it all at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. They've been a part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one. So Herb Sendek has been fired, and this is no surprise at all. I was asked a couple of weeks ago, I had a dinner with some friends in the media, and I said at the time that it was 99.9% certainty that Herb Sendek was going to be fired, and all of them just kind of shook their heads, and they were surprised by this. To me, the writing was on the wall when the games took place late in the season. They had an awful showing at Washington State. They had an awful showing at Utah. They had a miserable showing in the Pac-12 tournament. And here's the thing beyond it. Nobody cared anymore. And Herb Sendek's a very nice man. Herb Sendek, in my opinion, is a good coach at the wrong program. Herb Sendek can still coach. And Herb Sendek has a lot of people that are fans of his. We had Jay Billis on the show, and Jay Billis just laughed and scoffed at the notion that Herb Sendek was a poor coach. We've had Bill Raftery on the show, and he just laughed and scoffed that he was a bad coach. I think Herb's a good coach. I think he's in a completely the wrong situation. Herb needs to be in the Ivy League, and Herb can still coach. Herb needs to be a guy that will go to a program where the expectation is academic first, and results on the court second. And there actually are those programs. For ASU to fire Herb Sendek today is the absolute right move to make. They did the right move because coaches are going to become available here in the next few weeks. And now that this job is open, and this is a good job, it will be viewed in some circles as a bad job. This is a bad day if you're a University of Arizona Wildcat fan, although Herb did a nice job against the U of A up here, but whenever they went to Tucson, it was usually a different story. So I wish Herb well. I received text messages last night from a couple of coaches at Arizona State who were hoping that he would not be let go. He is very likable, but I think 9 years of mediocrity is no different than where Rob Evans was, is really no different than where Bill Frieder was at the end of his run at ASU. Arizona State is a mirage when it comes to basketball. understand that. It is a mirage. It is not a job that you look at on the surface and you say, wow, that job is one of the top jobs in America. I have to have it. You can talk all you want about how beautiful the campus is and how pretty the girls are and how they're supposed to be able to recruit anybody and everybody to Tempe, Arizona. And guess what? For 20 years, that hasn't happened. Instead, it's just a mid-level program that every so often finds its way into success. When Lisa Love was the athletic director here, they were mired in mediocrity. The basketball program has some nice players come through. They're not here very long. I don't think James Harden is shedding a tear today over Herb Sendek being let go. Scott Parra is the guy that brought James Harden here. If Scott Parra didn't show up at the James Harden thing a few weeks back, James wouldn't have shown up, from my understanding. So this isn't sitting here throwing dirt on Herb Sendek. This is 9 years with a record of 155 and 133. This is 9 years of a Pac-12 record of 68 and 86. That is mediocre. And most of you right now are saying, move on from Herb Sendek, Brad. I only want to hear about U of A and the NFL. And that's a problem. Because college basketball here can be relevant. College basketball here can work. I don't buy this stuff for a minute that this is a pro sports town and that college basketball will always be an afterthought. I don't know. Over at Grand Canyon University, they're scheduling Louisville next year in a home and home. I don't know. This year they had Buffalo here with Bobby Hurley, who made the tournament, and nobody was really paying attention to it because it's not on the radar screen while ASU's losing to Lehigh on a Sunday afternoon. Now, I could go on this, but it's the right move to make, and it's time for the program to move forward. Is that moving forward to it? I'll just throw a bunch of names out there that alums have thrown at me. Some of them are big cigars. Some of them are big boosters. Some of them are guys that you just would look at and say, there's not a shot. So let's just go down the early list. These are names that people run by me and say, what do you think? Greg Marshall at Wichita State. So do you have $2 million to pony up? He's done a terrific job, and his agent is going to use, he'll use Alabama. He'll use Arizona State. Arizona State's in a really tough spot here. They're going to get used by a guy like Greg Marshall's people. He just beat Kansas. He owns Wichita. He's going to get people knocking on his door. Is he the right fit to come to Phoenix? Let's go over to Archie Miller. Heard Archie Miller's name all over the place. Archie Miller's done a terrific job at Dayton. Neat little storyline of Archie Miller coaching against Sean Miller, brother against brother. Sounds great. Reads like a terrific media story. Who wouldn't want to have that? Not buying that one either. Doesn't mean it couldn't happen. Just not buying it. And I can go on the names. We'll have Doug Haller here in a couple of minutes with AZ Central Sports. Our partnership with the Arizona Republic. We'll talk with Doug here in about 5 minutes. Again, if you're just joining us, Herb Sendek has been fired. Now, the Adrian Peterson story. So when the agent comes out and says that he doesn't think it was in Peterson's best interest to stay in Minnesota, here's the thing that's going on here. And we said this last week on the show, that the owners' meetings this week would be a dog and pony show around Adrian Peterson. Have you yet to hear Adrian Peterson speak? The bottom line in this is no, you haven't heard Adrian Peterson do anything. So the agent is going out there and he's trying his hardest. Let's stir this up. Let's make this so miserable that the fans will hate him. And then the team will have to say, we're going to trade him. Anytime, and understand this, anytime you do something to try to appease you as fans, you will fail. You cannot get caught up in what fan reaction is going to be. And some owners do that. They get wound up about this show. They get wound up about other shows. They get wound up about, oh my gosh, we're getting killed on the radio. So what? It's more important to get killed in digital anyways. I don't know. If you're getting crushed on Twitter, that's where everybody's going. So the agent's just doing what he's supposed to do. I don't think Adrian Peterson has it in him to step to the podium. As I said last week, I said, if Adrian really wants to stir it up, then come out here to Arizona yourself And what do you know? The agent's out here, and the agent's going to walk up to anybody with a notepad and say things like, yeah, we want out. Kevin Seifert is with ESPN, and he, let's go to number three here, Jordy. Peterson and the power struggle that's going on.
Rick Spielman, the Vikings general manager, requested a meeting with Ben Dogger down here in Phoenix at the owners' meetings, and Ben declined. And so I think the Peterson people feel like their point has been made, that the Vikings know where they stand. And if anything is going to happen, it's I guess the ball in their mind is in the Vikings court.
Here's more on another missed season appearing at an opportunity here for Adrian Peterson.
He's under contract with them through 2017. And so his options would be to report or, I guess, hold out. And the idea of a player who already missed almost an entire season holding out a second season when he's just turned 30 years old doesn't seem very likely. But there's not much the NFL could do, I don't think, in that situation if the Vikings decided to make him honor his contract.
So here's the thing. If you are a Minnesota Viking fan, you're going to be pissed about this. And I hate to put it in these simple terms because it takes all the fun out of doing a talk show for 2 hours. It's March 24th. There's weeks that this can drag on. Weeks. Now, there's going to come a point where, in my opinion, him missing last year, he's going to need to be in the OTAs. He's going to need to be in minicamp. He can't be somebody that holds out and rolls in week number two of the preseason and misses everything in this offseason because he's got to get back in football shape. I also believe that if you look at the Vikings top to bottom, they have a very, very good offensive roster that's sitting there. If you're the Arizona Cardinals and all this, because Cardinal fans don't care about Minnesota, all you want to know is, can you get Adrian Peterson here? This is going to be a war of attrition. You know, and one day it may be Jacksonville that pops up. I know that name showed up on the radars over the last couple of days at the meetings. You've just got to do your due diligence. Steve Keim was named Executive of the Year yesterday for another year because he's really, really good at what he does. And I trust him. I trust him. You can gnash your teeth all you want. This is going to take some time. The agent can stir it up today, and a week from now, it may be Adrian who finally surfaces. All I know is I've heard from the agent, and I have heard from the Viking side. I've heard from Adrian Peterson's dad, but I haven't heard from the kid or the 30-year-old now. He's not a kid anymore. I haven't heard from him. When he steps to the podium and says, I want out, then I'll take this serious. Otherwise, this is all posturing, and this is part of the process. Doug Howler is on the other side, AZ Central Sports, Arizona State insider. Herb Sendek has been fired as head coach at Arizona State after 9 seasons. Most of you don't care, but I do. And on a day like today, there'll be a few people excited about it, but that's the problem here. The program is so far off the radar screen. In most places, you fire a basketball coach, it's a big story here. Yeah, they did it. Okay, so what are they going to do next? We'll talk with Doug Howler about it on the other side. Then Kevin Harlan. I'm Brad Sussmann.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Brad Sussmann with you. Doug Howler joins us on short notice. AZ Central Sports, Arizona State. Basketball insider, or ASU insider, I should say. And we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago up in Las Vegas about Herb Sendek. This doesn't surprise you, does it, that he was let go today?
You know, Brad, as we discussed, up until February, I would say late February, I was told that the administration at ASU was happy with the progress ASU basketball had made this year. They were encouraged about what they had coming back to place next year with 4 returning starters. But I think after that USC game in Las Vegas where they lost a 15-point lead in the final 10 minutes, I think that kind of swayed things against Herb Sendek. There's always been a segment of the fan base that hasn't really been in his corner. And then after they lost that game, it just seemed from all the feedback I got, he lost a significant portion of the fan base, and I think that was the final nail, which led us to today, and he's out after 9 years.
Yeah, I felt it a couple of weeks earlier than that over there. I think the Utah game was very alarming. I think the Washington State game was very alarming. I can go all the way back to some people internally that weren't happy after the Lehigh game. And look, you've seen this program. I've seen this program for 20 years. I called it earlier a mirage. It looks great on the outside. Then you get on the inside and Herb Sendek, Rob Evans, Bill Frieder. And I want to see that change, but nobody can convince me otherwise that it's nothing more than a 500 program as you and I sit here today.
Well, I mean, think about the last three coaches, going back to Bill Frieder, Rob Evans, and Herb Sendek. All three were coaches of the year in their respective conferences before taking this job, and all three were fired from this job. I think it's one of the more difficult jobs for a power conference school in the country. And it's for a lot of reasons. I mean, and a lot of reasons that we've discussed on this show over the years, just for the fact that the fan support has not been the greatest. You're in a pro sports market with a powerhouse in Arizona just down the school. And I also think the administrative support has not been where it needs to be for a Pac-12 school in a while. I think that's changed. And it was not a basketball thing. That was a football thing, too. And we've seen how that has changed the last couple of years. We've seen how Todd Graham has energized the football program and really, in some ways, energized the entire athletic department. The administration now realizes they need to put more into the basketball program. They're making plans to renovate Wells Fargo Arena. But you know they're behind. There's no doubt about it. They're behind. Yep. And I think that's affected recruiting under Sendek. That's affected the program. We'll see where it goes. We'll see which direction they go. There are a lot of names already being thrown out there. Will they go with a young, energetic assistant? Will they go with an up-and-comer? Will they turn to someone a little bit more established? It doesn't matter that this program hasn't had a lot of success traditionally. There still will be a lot of interest in this job.
No, I agree with you. We're talking about Doug Haller, AZ Central Sports, Arizona State Sun Devil Insider. Herb Sendek was fired about 45 minutes ago, to nobody's surprise, I don't believe. And I don't think there'll be any outrage at all. And that's no swipe at Herb. It's just the apathy was overwhelming on this program. And I would agree with you about administratively that Ray has come in. I'll even give Steve Patterson a little bit of credit, too, because I think Steve looked at this basketball thing and said, what is going on here? Nobody cares. I myself, Doug, don't buy into the pro sports market thing. Charlie's been able to win in an arena that's not very good. I get it. It's women's basketball versus men's basketball. Some people say apples and oranges. I say, you know what? If the coach is better at closing as a recruiter and his staff doesn't turn over as much, and I think Ray had to do something because as it sits right now, they have zero, and I mean zero shot at Barcelo, Bagley, the biggest names in the state of Arizona that are going to be national players. They've got zero shot at those guys. So you had to do something here.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Marcus Howard decommitment from last week came at a really bad time and a really interesting time with them coming off the USC loss. And really, you are going to have with Bagley, as you mentioned, you're going to have probably a top five player, maybe even the best player in the country, coming right through your backyard with ties to ASU.
Yep.
So that's obviously, that could be, make or break for this program. You get someone of that kid's talent in your program. But yeah, I mean, they have been, involved with some higher profile kids and couldn't close. I do think that, with Stan Johnson and Barrett Peary in place, that they had gotten commitments from a couple of 2016 four-star prospects. Who knows? I mean, these are commitments, Brad. You know how they go. I mean, they don't stick around.
Marcus Howard, same way.
They change their minds. But, four stars for this program has been pretty good, and they did have a few lined up. But, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the players already on the roster, Savon Goodman, I think, is an all-conference talent. He's a sophomore. He's already redshirted. So, he's already lost a year. So I don't know if he'll go anywhere. But Trey Holder certainly could look elsewhere. I'm sure there'll be some turnover there, and it'll be interesting to see how that all turns out.
So will Ray Anderson lead this search? Will they use the search committee, pay a whole bunch of money to some executive firm to go find somebody? Does this coach have to be Todd Graham-esque in dealing with media because Herb was not? There's just a lot of questions that are sitting there right now, 45 minutes after he's let go. Can you run through the laundry list of what you think the question marks are moving forward?
Well, I think you do need to find someone who can sell the program in this market. And, to get to Herb Sendek's credit, he really, when he first got here, or when I first started covering the beat, I don't know, I guess it was maybe 6 or 7 years ago. It was the year they went to the NCAA tournament with James Harden. He was a very closely guarded guy, you know, to the point where he wouldn't even want to give me his cell phone number to contact. It was really rare for the, you know, beat reporter coach relationship. But as time came on or went on, he really opened up. I mean, he opened up the practice to media, which is something that's extremely rare for college coaches at this level. He had, donut and coffee sessions with season ticket holders. He did some fan teleconferences. You know, he made an effort to really kind of step out his comfort outside of his comfort zone and you know, kind of move forward, you know, what Todd Graham had established. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I was talking to somebody the other day, Brad. When Todd Graham was hired and just the energy he brought, you know, you could tell it wasn't just the football program. He energized the athletic department. I think maybe for the first time, you know, some people inside ASU's offices realized, like, you know what, if somebody like this is, look what somebody like this can do to an athletic department. Because he really energized the entire place.
The last thing on Herb is, I think he's an Ivy League coach, Doug. I think in this day and age, he's somebody that academically they weren't terrible. You know, they weren't. But that doesn't matter. What matters is they were a 500 program to fans. But I never looked at Herb Sendek and said, bad coach.
No, and you know what? I mean, I've talked to, over the last 3 or 4 years, several people outside the industry, or in the industry. You know, and just recently, after they got blown out by Utah, I contacted a former coach and just wanted to ask him a question about, you know, how does a team recover in 2 days after a lopsided loss? And the first thing he said is, I'm not going to say one bad word about Herb Sendek. I'm not going to do it. And I wasn't even going to ask the question. That was the first thing he said. Mm-hmm. Doug Collins, who's tremendously respected in this industry, you know, is a close friend of Herb's and is often seen just kind of observing at practice. It, you know, you talk to people, and he's as fine a teacher as there is. If you watch him in practice, he is extremely detail-oriented. That success just never kind of translated onto the court. Now, one thing I always kind of defend him, people say he's not fiery enough. Well, maybe not during games, but if you saw him in practice, he did see that fire. But, you know, the bottom line, you could twist this a number of different ways. You could say, well, ASU was picked to finish ninth in the preseason media poll. They finished fifth, so they overachieved. You could say, well, you know, they beat Arizona more. He beat Arizona more than Bill Frieder and Rob Evans combined. You could say, well, they didn't make it to the NCAA tournament, but they made it to 4-19. They were on the doorstep. All that's true. But the bottom line today, in today's age, is the only thing fans care about are the NCAA tournament appearances. And 2 in 9 years, just wasn't going to cut it.
Before I let you go, Doug Haller with us, AZ Central Sports, Arizona State Insider. And I appreciate it because I'm sure your phone is blowing up 45 minutes after Herb Sendek was relieved today, let go at ASU. So let's go down the list. Archie Miller. I don't see it happening. It sounds great. It would make for a great storyline twice a year where ASU played U of A. Is Archie Miller a candidate for ASU in your opinion?
In my opinion, there's no chance for a couple of reasons. One, I don't see Archie leaving a pretty good situation to come to a situation at B where, one, he knows how difficult it is to win here because he was an assistant coach under Herb Sendek here. And also, he's going to have to go up against his brother down the road twice a year. I mean, let's be honest, Sean is building a powerhouse down there in Tucson, and I don't think anybody's going to relish going up against him. And also, Sean, you know, not only coached with Herb, he played under Herb at NC State. You know, I don't know how comfortable he would be taking over for a guy that really has groomed him over the years and, you know, kind of contributed to him getting his start in his business.
Were Herb and Sean close, by the way? Just there was always that notion that they didn't care much for one another once it got to this point.
Brad, as a lot of Arizona State fans know, when I go on the road, I kind of double dip and I pick my spots, and I've covered Arizona when ASU did play the game that wasn't relevant or when the dates lined up. After every game, when Sean Miller came out of the locker room, before he took one question, the first question he asked me, how did ASU do? Mm. How is ASU winning? So, you know, I never expected him to publicly support Herb, but, you know, that was always the first question. If he didn't care about Herb Sendek, I don't think he would have really cared to ask me how ASU was doing at that time.
Sure. Back to this list. Josh Pastner, who may be trying to get out of Memphis before they run him out of town. Heard his name all over the place around ASU.
Well, that's a popular name, and I imagine that's not going to go away. His situation is, you know, like Herb here, he's losing some of the fan base in Memphis. And once you lose the fan base, sometimes you can't get it back, so coaches will tend to look elsewhere. It makes sense. He's young. He's a guy that could sell the program. He's had some NCAA tournament success there, even though they didn't make it this year. And plus, he has some Arizona ties being being a part of the 1997 U of A championship team.
If they go young, Russell Turner, UC Irvine.
You know, he's an interesting name, and you know, he also has Pac-12 ties. He's coached at Stanford under Mike Montgomery, I believe. He's been an assistant with Golden State, led the Anteaters to the NCAA tournament this year, and was the Big West Coach of the Year last year. So, you know, that name is intriguing. Whether or not he has interest is yet to be seen, but I would not be surprised if his name surfaces up again.
Last name I'll run it by you, and that is, we saw what Tracy Smith has done with baseball, and that was Ray's first big hire, right? So,
yes, sir.
So, do you have a sense on Ray's end? Is he looking for established? I know it's baseball and basketball. Can you glean anything out of his first big hire? Now he's got this one, which is an even a bigger move.
Well, I mean, so what are you asking? Will he go for an established coach?
Would he go for an established? Yeah, do you think he's got to go established coach versus, you know, do you take anything away from his baseball hire or not? I've had some people ask me that today.
No, I don't, just because, you know, I think baseball at that time needed more of an established presence. Basketball, I mean, they've gone with, you know, successful coaches the last three times, and it just hasn't worked out. Now, if the right guy, you know, expresses interest, and there will be, like I said, there will be people who be interested in this job, but, you know, I would think their best bet, just my opinion, would be go with someone younger who's hungry, who's still up and coming, who has a lot to prove in college basketball.
Let's check off that. Appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
Doug Haller with us, AZ Central Sports, Arizona State Sun Devil Insider. With the Arizona Republic. Kevin Harlan will join us on the other side. We'll switch gears to U of A. They are in March Madness. They are in the Sweet 16. They are going to be in Los Angeles. Eric is heading there today. He will be covering U of A throughout their run in Los Angeles. And of course, we'll have much more content on the Wildcats. On the other side with TNT and CBS is Kevin Harlan. I'm sitting right behind him this weekend around the games in Portland. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So a reminder tomorrow, Eric will be out in Los Angeles with the University of Arizona. Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ. Busy, busy day. We have the NFL meetings going on. I was at the Biltmore this morning for that. The Suns on a win streak. Herb Sendek's future in jeopardy. The Wildcats on the road. It's good to be back after being in Portland last week with the University of Arizona. My seats were actually right behind Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller, and Dan Bonner for the 2 days of games. What's interesting when you have those seats is you end up being on camera in a roundabout way, and I'm there to work, but there's these people that wanted to go sit at those seats, and they actually would say to me, I'm going to be on camera. And I would say, I thought you were here to work. But in all seriousness, what was interesting is to see the give and take and the absolute professionalism, and I'm not just saying that because Kevin Harlan's back on the show. But Reggie Miller would stand up and pump his fist, and they'd be high-fiving, and if Stanley Johnson went baseline, he'd come out of his shoes and his pretty socks, and there was just chemistry there. So I told Eric, let's get Kevin back on the show, and he joins us for a couple of minutes. Kevin Harlan, who's tonight is in Dallas doing an NBA game. Did you have as much fun as it appeared that you did with Reggie and Dan in Portland, first and foremost, Kevin?
Brad, thank you. Great to be on, and appreciate the kind words, and regardless of who I'm with, and I've had a lot of different partners over the years, I've had Jay Billis, I've had Dan before, I've had Lenny Elmore, John Sundvold back in the early days when we all joined CBS in the late 90s. Regardless of who I've ever worked with, it's always, for me, been the game which has been more captivating. I could sit and work with anybody. I'd mm-hmm. like to work with you, and we would mm-hmm. probably sit there. I think everybody is so entranced with the kids and the coaches and the atmosphere and what's at stake that makes it so, so compelling, especially when you've got a team like Arizona, which has so much in front of it still, I think, to play, so much to accomplish, so incredibly talented. I had never seen the Johnson kid play in person. I had watched him, obviously, on tape and on live TV, but Stanley Johnson, that first game in particular, was just incredible. And then all the, I go right down the line. I mean, so I really, the game to me, regardless of who I'm with, but the game to me is really the thing, the atmosphere, the fans.
Sure.
That to me is the most captivating thing.
Well, and I could tell too from the prep side of it. Okay, I'm sitting there Wednesday and you've got the coaches and you're coming over and you're visiting. It doesn't matter if it's Mike Davis and he's in a tough spot and you're doing your prep work. I'm sitting right behind you guys. And then U of A comes out on the floor and you're visiting with the people from the U of A. There is something completely different in the preparation than versus, say, an NFL broadcast, which you're a part of course, or even an NBA thing where you roll in tonight and do a game, right?
It is. You're trying to make sure that for each of the teams, whether it's the Arizona Wildcats or it's the Texas Southern team, Stephen F. Austin, whoever it might be, that you give each school, you know, as much as you can during the broadcast. Now, we know that a 2 seed like the Cats are going to take care of a 15 seed. We've had upsets before, but this was obviously one-sided. And so you want to make sure that you give your utmost to Texas Southern. And so it was fun to learn about their program, learn about their team, what their coach is all about. You know, there's always a fascinating story there. And just making sure that you give each school its due. You know, a lot of these schools are never on national TV.
Right.
Wildcats are always seen nationally. So it's great to try to uncover a story. But more than anything, get the names of the kids right and make sure you've got their story in front of you so that you can tell it as accurately as possible. Now, that's not to say that there's not going to be a bump in the road here and there, because there are so many kids, and it's 8 teams. And we just found out late Sunday night who we're going to get, and we got to go. But all in all, it's incredibly enjoyable. It's not a lot of work. It's such a wonderful thing and honor, really, to be a part of the broadcast of these games.
CBS, TNT's Kevin Harlan. I could go through all the networks, True TV and TBS, to make sure we cover all the bases. He did the play-by-play of the first round, or actually the second and third round, if we're being absolutely accurate, around March Madness and in the University of Arizona Wildcats. Curious your impressions when you watched T.J. McConnell on the floor. He was not named the player of the year, which caused a lot of angst for fans of the U of A. As I've seen them roll through this season, when he is not on the floor, they're a different team unless Gabe York is just hitting everything in sight. What do you think of T.J. McConnell?
I loved him. I love that he's in the top 10 nationally in assists and steals. I love that he was first team all Pac-12 in defense. I love his leadership, his toughness. A kid who began at another school, transferred, made the transformation, moved really geographically to a completely different place from where he grew up and where he initially played at Duquesne, and then to fit, you know, the way he has, take the leadership he has as the smallest guy in the starting group for the Cats. That to me is, you know, when you bring in a guy midstream, he doesn't come in with your original class and works his way up with these other kids. You know, sometimes, you know, the chemistry may not be there, but,
right.
But if you look up and down their roster, you know, he is the only senior that starts, certainly, and then that sees credible minutes all the way up and down. I mean, you got Korchek, who will see some time certainly as a senior, and Drew Mellon can play a little bit from time to time. But really, this is the senior leadership that winning programs usually have. And this kid comes from another school and steps in and does all the things to make everybody else better. And then when his shot's going, let him fire away. But he's had this great durability to his career with 74 or 75 consecutive starts. And I just love the way he plays the game. And Doug Collins texted me the other day after we did the game between Arizona and Ohio State, and he said, "I love this kid's toughness." And
yeah.
I said, "Coach, we said it. He just is a special kind of guy, and the kind of guy that you need to win a national championship. He fits the bill."
Yeah, he's a future coach, I think, Kevin. And Sean,
yeah, good point. Yeah, right.
I mean, you just watch him, and he's 2 and 3 steps ahead. When he's done playing, I think he's going into coaching. And Sean Miller talked about Aaron Kraft when Aaron was at Ohio State, and that's what Sean Miller sees in T.J. McConnell in this space. And I happen to agree with that. And you know this as well as anybody. We're at the point of the year where point guard play is going to dictate how far you can go, unless your name is Okafor on the back of your jersey with Duke, but or all those other guys have at Kentucky. But he just brings something. I'm curious, switching gears over to Stanley Johnson. You mentioned off the top that You'd seen him on tape. And obviously, you can't make too much, too high, too low off of two games in the NCAA tournament. You also saw Russell on the floor, who made some tremendous passes but couldn't hit his shot. Those are considered to be the top two freshmen, if not along with Okafor. Do you see those two as players that can come into the NBA, you're doing an NBA game tonight, and be an impact?
Stanley Johnson has got a body for his age and how he plays that is very unique. There are a lot of D'Angelo Russell types out there. I would love to see Russell, who plays for the Buckeyes. I would love to see him just really work more on his playmaking and passing, because I think right off the bat he could have such an incredible advantage by doing that. And Russell also is a kid who I think glides through a game. He has that unique quality where he is moving fast, but it almost looks, with the lack of effort, that he is like gliding, skating on the floor. There are very few players that can do that. And so I think the early view on him is he's got that ability. Stanley has got the game that we, that of course, right out of the blocks, he was hitting all those threes.
Right.
You know, the second game he was not shooting that well, obviously, but he tried to do some other things that helped the team that first game. You know, he's out of the blocks so fast. And a conference player of the year, as we know, and a first team conference player to boot as a freshman, with some pretty talented freshmen in that conference. I just think that his physicalness, the way he is, like, you don't see players like that in college basketball. Yeah. The way he is built, the size, the strength that you already can see, and then his skill level will continue to, that's going to be something that you can watch develop with coaching. He's getting the best at Arizona. He'll get it at the next level when he goes there. But just physically, he's just a different kind of guy. Like, you look at those Kentucky kids. I've done three Kentucky games for CBS this year. When they stand for the national anthem, Brad, it's like you're looking at an all NBA All-Star team with height, not in terms of how they play, but just with the size and the length. And then you look to your right and look at the other team, and they look like it's a high school team. Yeah. I mean, the size difference is what really catches your eye. And to be quite honest, for pro scouts, that's the first thing that catches your eye. You say, how does a kid look? And you look at those long Kentucky kids, you say, ah, yeah, Lyles, ah, yeah, Towns. These are the, you can see in the future, Johnson is one of those kids. He stands there for the national anthem. You watch him run up and down, his ball handling ability, his handle. You watch just the basic things he does, and you're just going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
There are very few, if any, that have that kind of look, and Johnson certainly is at the top of that list.
When Reggie Miller used the LeBron James phrase, that caught all the U of A fans by surprise, I think, actually. What did you think?
Well, Reggie will from time to time say some things that I'm not really sure about. I wasn't sure where to go with that, and I can't even remember. I remember when he said it, but there was something else going on, and we had to read a promo, or I don't know what we were doing. And I never really got back to him on that. I know that the press had picked it up, because a couple in the next day at the press conference had asked Sean, or maybe even mentioned, I think maybe mentioned the players, and TJ was one of them, about the comment. And they handled it perfectly, as they usually do. These kids are sharp kids, but you know, that's what I mean when I just say that. When you look at LeBron physically, he's just so different than anybody else, because there have been guys that size but have not been maybe cut, and certainly can't do the things he does. And I get a feeling Stanley has some of that in his makeup, that he can do those things. That's a pretty big label, I think, to give a kid. If you say it in terms of, I'm not saying he plays like LeBron, I'm saying he's got the body and the look of a LeBron.
Sure.
Then I could kind of live with that. But to say a kid that, you know, maybe that's what Reggie meant. I really never went back to him on that. But I know that you're right. I read it in a couple of the papers down there and heard at the conference the next day that was an interesting comment that was floating around. And maybe they put too much pressure on the kid then for the next game against Ohio State. They didn't need him because Gabe and
that's a good point.
TJ were shooting so well.
That's a good point. Before I let you go, what is your assignment for Sweet 16?
We're in Los Angeles. We've got the Arizona game, and we've got North Carolina and Wisconsin and Xavier. We got those four teams. So I'll do the game tonight for TNT and then head out to L.A. tomorrow and watch practices and See, one of my favorite coaches, Sean Miller. I don't profess to know him that well, but I have always admired him from afar. So it's fun to watch what he's done with this team. And I don't think there is another team to give Kentucky a better run than Arizona. I really don't. They seem to have all the components to bat the Cats of Kentucky. This would be a terrific national final if it gets that far.
Yeah, and if it gets to Wisconsin U of A on Saturday, that would be a pretty amazing too after what happened. So, safe travels.
Are you going to be there, Brad? Are you going to be in Los Angeles?
Eric's going to be out there, and you've visited with Eric many times. I've got NFL meetings out here, you know, all these rules changes.
Oh, exactly.
So, you know, the league wants to play around with goalposts and tackling and all sorts of things. So, stay well. Appreciate the time as always.
Brad, thank you so much. Take care.
There's Kevin Harlan with us for a couple of minutes. Always good to visit with Kevin Harlan. He is going to be doing the U of A game against Xavier and, of course, the Wisconsin-North Carolina game and then the Elite Eight matchup. So terrific stuff there with Kevin Harlan. Appreciate his time. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat. We have the NFL meetings going on in town, too, along with Herb Sendek being blown out today, Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. Today is a good day for Arizona State. It is. I don't like to see things happen to people. I don't like to see people lose their jobs. I think this is just one of those where it's 9 years. It's time for a change. It's time to move on. In my humble opinion, this should have happened a couple of years ago. You can say, well, they made the tournament last year. Honestly, the last few years, it's just been like, okay, let's get to 19 or 20 wins. Let's hope we get into the tournament. Let's just be satisfied with that. I think Herb was worn down from this. He's never told me that. You know, I remember last summer I emceed an event up, and I do it every year. I'm going to do it this summer too. I emceed an event up in Pine Top, the White Mountain Sun Devil Club, and it was all the big cigars. It's like 500 people, big cigars, big alums. And Herb came up on stage and he sat with me and there was not a whole lot of interaction between the two of us. It was more he wanted to bring the assistant coaches up on stage. And it was a noisy tent and all that stuff. And Todd came up on stage and it was still a noisy tent. Todd just made mention of it. He's like, I think it's very rude of people in the back of the tent to be talking and went about his way. Herb just, it was kind of like he went through the process of, I've got to do this interview. You know, there's things like the devil walk when ASU football goes out onto the field for football games. And I've been to all the ASU football games. I very seldom saw Herb there as part of that. That's not a reason to fire a coach. I just think it's time for him. Sometimes it is just time. And anybody who is debating this, saying, was it the right move or not? And I haven't had any of those. All I'm getting is, it's about time, it's about time, it's about time. Mean stuff, mean-spirited stuff, stuff from juveniles on this. I mean, somebody lost their job today. That's not cool. But this was the right move to make for Ray Anderson moving forward. All these names that are being brought up already and, you know, trying to be first rather than being right or trying to troll for clicks in this day and age of clickbait because there's a business model out there. So all these names are being thrown out. And while I'm sitting here on the show, I've got people and I've seen Jeff Capel's name out there, the Duke assistant coach. It's fine. Bobby Hurley is a name that I've, in the back of my mind, when I saw him earlier this year, Bobby Hurley and Buffalo were out here to play Grand Canyon University earlier this year, and Bobby went on and coached in March Madness. Bobby Hurley, I think, would be a tremendous name to look at. I don't know what he would have to do in the way of assistant. I mean, I do know he'd have to have West Coast ties and all that stuff, all the usual stuff that you hear about. But here's the thing. You know, Michael Crow talks about it being this national brand and all that stuff. So hire a national brand. You know, when Todd Graham came here, it was not a Ray hire, obviously. When Todd came here, with all the nonsense about how he had jumped from job to job, I don't know. He was promised a lot of things at Pittsburgh that didn't happen. There were ties here, so he moved. So he gets crushed by people in Pittsburgh. And last time I checked, their football program is incompetent in Pittsburgh. So let's just put that off to the side. I think ASU is better than the lead assistant coach or is in a space where they don't have to take Russell Turner at UC Irvine. Russell Turner at UC Irvine may sound great on the surface and may be great. I don't know, but I think that you aim higher than that. Go after the established coach. A year ago, I was pounding my fist saying, go get Bruce Pearl. Go get Bruce Pearl. Go get Bruce Pearl. Bruce Pearl is what Todd Graham is. That's the first part of it. He can get people around him to help coach. He went to Auburn instead. Are there coaches, I'll throw a name at you by example, that have run their course, they make really good money, it would be hard to get them out, and I don't have any insight on this. I may have insight on some names, I'm just not going to share them today because I want more than one source, but I'll just throw a name by example. Billy Donovan is at Florida. Billy Donovan was on Jim Herrick's staff at UCLA a long time ago and has West Coast ties and has done a terrific job. My point is, aim high. You know, let's not go through another 9 years where, no offense to Rob Evans, who was a nice enough guy, Herb Sendek, who was a nice guy. The last two hirings, main hirings for Arizona State, have been more along the lines of, let's get a coach here to just keep the basketball program out of trouble while we try to figure football out. And you can't have that. Look at what Steve Fisher has done at San Diego State, which is just a train wreck of a job. I was their play-by-play guy. They played in a dark, dingy gym that held about 1,500 people. And all of a sudden now he's been there into, I think it's 15 years. And all they do is win. And all they do is go to the tournament. And they have a great on-campus facility. And he was an established name. You can aim high. I didn't want Ben Howland here. And some people say, what about Ben Howland? I don't want Ben Howland here. So I don't want this to be a one-week hire either. Let March Madness play out. Look at these coaches that are in the Sweet 16. Aim high. Look at some of the coaches that just were eliminated that did a good job in building their program. I mean, who would have had Larry Krystowiak on their short list for any job a few years back, and now he's got Utah in the Sweet 16? I've had some people ask me about Dan Majerle. Dan Majerle's not going to leave Grand Canyon and Jerry Colangelo to go over to ASU, so just stop. The segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I know for certain. I'll be talking to Tim Hovick later today about what happened at Arizona State with the basketball coach being let go because Tim is a huge, huge ASU supporter. And the Ford brand, Arizona Ford dealers and Santan Ford, a big part of ASU athletics. So we're going to talk about that. Probably get caught up on my trip to Portland. I drive around in the Ford Fusion, the hybrid, and how terrific that is working out for me and my busy travels. I got out of the airport at about midnight on Saturday back from Portland. Guys, you ever driven or walked out to your car after you've been on a long road trip and you walk up to your vehicle and it's like, I got to get into this and drive home? No, that wasn't me. No one around. It's late at night. I'm tired. Turned on the hybrid, backed out. Rolled down the windows, the hard top, cranked up some tunes, drove home, very relaxed. I love that hybrid. It makes a lot of sense for me. How about you? Santan Ford, great place to stop in and get that new or used vehicle. Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Chris Cartman, ASU Devils on the other side. We'll talk with Chris about what went down today with Herb Sendek. Sendek is out, and then what is going to happen moving forward. That is on the other side and his reaction. Sports360AZ.com, where Arizona, Arizona, Arizona centric. I'm Brad Sismat. Off we go into hour number two, busy Tuesday, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. We are Arizona, Arizona, Arizona centric. I am Brad Sismat. Eric is off today. He is headed to Los Angeles. He will continue our March Madness coverage with the University of Arizona Wildcats. Sports360AZ.com. We were in Portland with the Wildcats. It was only us and Paula in AZ Central. Nobody else. Like, I don't know. They're a top five program in the country and nobody else. Crazy. I mean, beyond crazy. It's sad for you guys. It's actually great for us. We don't have enough money to send a reporter and a cameraman to Portland. Yeah, I know. It's a lot of money. It's killing you. It's like $800, $900. You can't afford to do it. It's crazy. They're all going to run to L.A., man. All going to go there now. Jump on the bandwagon. It's crazy. Eric will be there starting tomorrow and will be there right through the weekend. A lot of content and social media and much, much more around the U of A. The other big story of the day is out at the NFL owners' meetings. We'll touch on that here in a few minutes. But Herb Sendek, this is a big story in some people's minds. In my mind, this was something that was coming down 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, I had people at ASU that said, he's on very thin ice, and this is not going to go his way unless some things really change. Well, they beat UCLA, and they had a nice run against Cal and Stanford, but it was pretty apparent to me that behind the scenes, this was no shock or surprise at all. And we continue our coverage on this with Chris Cartman now from sundevilsource.com. Chris has been with us many, many times. Did this surprise you at all?
Not as of the USC loss in the Pac-12 tournament, Brad. I mean, even breaking the news on this thing from yesterday, first reporting that the meeting was going to take place today, we heard that he was very likely to be fired. Couldn't report it last night, but knew that that was kind of headed. And then first to report today that he was indeed fired. The big change was what happened at the Pac-12 tournament. Before then, in the days leading up to that, high-level ASU sources, the people that you can report on, said that he was safe. The Utah loss was a big hit when they lost on the road. It went from being like he's 100% safe to he's safe and he's going to be back, but we need to see some improvement. The USC thing really changed. There was an enormous outreach of boosters dissatisfied. I even had a person who has been a season ticket holder since before Wells Fargo even existed, who told me he would not renew if Sendek was retained as the coach. And about 90%, I would say, of the fans on our site in a poll decided that they did not want him back. And I think the public sentiment was too much to overcome.
Yeah, and I think the booster stuff had been building even over the last year, that there were significant big cigars that had said, not writing another check on this guy. Okay, so moving forward, the names that are just being thrown out today, I get it in this day and age of Twitter, and I get it that people want to get clicks. I get all that. But you're somebody that I think is more apt to tap the brakes. So let's just go down the list on these things. I did this earlier with Doug Haller, and I'll do it with you.
There's one candidate. There's one main candidate right now, and his name is Jeff Capel. ASU's already talking with Capel. Obviously the Duke assistant, former Oklahoma head coach. I've heard from sources on both sides on this. People close to Capel, and then also people on the ASU side. He is the top target. And what's going to happen now is ASU will see if any other big names throw their hat into the ring. And that may lead to additional people being considered. I expect ASU to put more money on the table because they probably feel like this is an opportunity to make a splash hire. Football is going well. They have more revenue in their coffers. If they want to push that money towards men's basketball, now's the time to do it. Now's the time to take a shot. So I think they'd be willing to go up to the $2 million range, which had been a hesitation in the past. But there's a return on investment component to men's basketball if you do that. Like, for instance, if you look, Brad, at the Sweet 16 teams, the average coach makes over $3 million.
Yep.
But that's how you get a return on the investment part of it. So Jeff Capel is the main person. Doesn't mean they're going to hire him. They're going to see who else comes out and expresses interest. But don't at all be surprised if he ends up being the guy.
Greg Marshall at Wichita State, I've had several of the big cigars throw his name by me.
It's too good of a job.
And well, here's the thing on this. He just beat Kansas, and I don't want to see Arizona State get used. I think Alabama's going to get used. I think ASU could get used now as leverage. Let's be honest.
Marshall wouldn't even take ASU. I mean, they sell out every game. They have a tremendous recruiting base. He has the ability to take – he's going to get – a top 15, top 20 job. ASU is not a top 15, a top 20 job
today
in basketball.
Today.
Yeah, Marshall is like, he's like one of the top two or three hottest names right now. And I just don't see any way. That's what boosters would say that they want, of course. Absolutely. That'd be a phenomenal hire. But he's not. That isn't just from some. I've talked to three head coaches in the last 12, 24 hours. Maybe 10 to 15 assistant coaches around the country. Marshall's not going to take the job at ASU.
Okay, all I'm saying is they are willing to put the money together, and these are people that can make it happen. And it's maybe, not just, but it's not sitting around having a cup of coffee and saying, what do you think? All I'm saying is that's what I'm hearing.
Maybe, but I just don't see any way that he would take it. That's just my, that's
sure,
my
sure. And I'm not saying he would. What I'm saying is I think he's got tremendous leverage and his agent's going to just jack his price up. Cause this, in my opinion, this job has been a mirage through the years. It's a mirage.
Right.
It looks great on the outside. Then you get on the inside and Herb got chewed up and spit out like Rob did, like Frieder did. Various different reasons on each case, okay? But it's a mirage. And I'm glad that Ray did this.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying. There's no doubt that's the case. But I think that's kind of out there more now. I think people know that. I think people are going to talk to Herb about the experience because he's so well-respected in the community and has so many contacts and relationships. And Greg Marshall is the type of guy who's going to command a $3 million plus
right.
type of an investment. Todd Graham doesn't even make $3 million. So how is that going to work at ASU when you're going to pay a men's basketball coach in order to get a guy like Marshall more money than Todd Graham? I just logistically, I see no way that that's
going to
happen.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's going to. I'm just saying that that's what I'm hearing this morning and the last couple of
sure.
days from people that can stroke a check like that. These mid-tier assistant coaches or head coaches like Bobby Hurley at Buffalo, what's your view on that?
I mean, Bobby Hurley.
Or Russell Turner. Russell Turner, I'd throw in the same boat. Those two types of guys.
Yeah. I like both of those guys. I like the Boise State head coach. He's done a really nice job up there. And that may be the route to go if they can't nab somebody, at a $2 million type of a number. Josh Passon is also a name out there. He makes more money than that.
I wouldn't take him, but that's just me.
But his job is probably not. I'm just saying, like, those are some of the names that are out there.
Yeah. You know, you're right.
I just think that they want to make a splash hire. Dr. Crow's already shown in the past that he wants to hire coaches who have already coached at the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be the NBA, obviously, probably. So then it's going to be somebody who's coached at a high major level, and that's why a guy like Cable makes sense. People are talking about Steve Lavin. I don't know about that, but I don't even know if he would take it. But and then you have to look at the Adidas component. With ASU switching to Adidas, there's connections and resources in that regard
mm-hmm.
that may enable ASU to appeal to somebody that it wasn't previously, because Adidas is very strong in grassroots basketball. And if ASU is smart, I would say they'd be working very closely with Adidas to figure out what angles they can play in that regard.
Chris Cartman, SunDevilSource.com, with the news that he had last night. And that was that Herb Sendek was going to meet this morning at 9:45 and then tweeted this morning that he was fired. He joins us for a couple of minutes. Sendek is out at ASU. What does it mean for, and this is, this will sound crazy to some people, but I think you and I are enough of hoopaholics that we get this. The number one player in the nation in a couple of years is Marvin Bagley, who has ties to his grandfather, Joe Caldwell, to ASU. Alex Barcelo, we went back and forth on this. I think he's one of the best point guards to roll through Arizona in a long time, if not ever. And Marcus Howard decommitted. Those are three kids that are coming through the pipeline. What does the club scene in Arizona and Phoenix need to see out of ASU so those kids start getting directed towards the Sun Devils?
Well, it's an energy thing, number one. It's a commitment of resources by the university to improve their facilities. The people who are local, they're around Wells Fargo a lot more than kids who are from out of state. So they see the blemishes, right? And that's been a big problem for ASU in basketball and football recruiting going back many years. It's harder for local kids to end up at ASU than it is a lot of times for kids out of the region, because they're less, the kids from far away are less aware of the internal issues and challenges that exist. So people that are local, I don't think ASU wants to take them in their locker room because it's outdated. It's not good. They come to games, they see 5,000 people. So you have these challenges. That's not going to just go away overnight. They're going to have to spend money to address a lot of these things. But I think Sendek didn't have a lot of emotional appeal, a lot of energy in a way that that kids related to. So I think that a coach who's more in the image of Todd Graham in that regard is probably going to help them to some extent. But now that Graham is kind of situated and things are going better and they have media rights money, and they're going to have a new stadium revenue in football. They have an opportunity here to make something happen, but it needs a lot of things beyond just the coach that you hire. But certainly you need a coach who has good recruiting resources and connections and relationship building.
Okay, before I let you go, I know it's a busy time for you, and I'll see you this afternoon at 4 at the press conference. How many players are going to leave this program? Goodman, Holder, or are they going to stay? What's your early read on that?
Well, I think the only player where it's a possibility that he would leave right now, to me logically, would be Trey Holder. And I think it would depend on who they hire, the type of system they're going to run, and things of that nature. Goodman's already sat out a year and transferred. I don't really see that happening. Eric Jacobson's a local guy. Jerry Blake is going to be a senior. So I doubt that's going to happen. You could see guys who didn't play last year transfer, certainly. Connor McDougal, I would expect that he's probably going to be out the door unless a new coach somehow appeals to him. Maybe Roosevelt Scott is a candidate to leave because he didn't play and has some upside and potential. But I would say of their top 8 or 9 players returning, the only guy who really is a possibility to me would be Trey Holder.
All right. I'll see you this afternoon at 4. Appreciate your time on short notice. Thanks.
Sounds good, Dad.
It's Chris Cartman there. SunDevilSource.com is where you can find his content and much, much more on this story as it unfolds.